good. So we'll start out with a short quiz. What was the essential ingredient we talked about last week for church? Up. Thank you. Give that boy a sweet after worship. Yes, that man. Sorry. You are a man. Yes, last week we looked at up. This week we're looking at, altogether, big word, in. So we're looking at essential ingredients of any local church. I would propose that there are certain ingredients that if a church doesn't have it, it's not a healthy church. And when I say church, I don't mean a building. I mean the people of God gathered together in community. The people of God gathered together in community. We are a church. We, the people gathered here in community, worshiping God, are the church. That would be more of a New Testament definition of church. Not necessarily a building with a steeple or something like that. That's kind of our cultural definition a lot of times when we say, look over there at that big church. But I mean when you go into any worshiping community, ESUMC, this one gathered here, or you go to your home country and you go to Lutheran Grace Church or whatever denomination you're from, right? There's all kinds of different brands out there. Anglican, Pentecostal, Independent, Catholic, you know, right? There's all so many different kinds. So I'm saying this and sharing about essential ingredients because I think it's a good kind of vision for us as we look at our new year for this local expression. And I also think it's just a good kind of metric, measurement, if you're ever visiting any other church or you're ever traveling and you go to a worship service or if you ever move to another city and et cetera. So these are essential ingredients. Another way to say it is they're essential movements of the church because these are all verbs. So last week we had up. This week we have in. Up, in. We got one more coming. Any guesses? Up, in. Yes, give that woman a sweet. You should get married to him. Oh, wait, you are. Oh. Yes, today we're looking at in. Later we'll look at out. So let's talk about in. To me, there's kind of two components here. One is simply your inward spiritual journey towards God. In is, you can call it your walk of discipleship. You can call it your spiritual formation. You can call it spiritual growth. I would simply call it your walk to go closer to Jesus through the Spirit. Your journey towards God in. And for us gathered here, that's personal for each of us. And it's also corporate, or it's a community shared journey in. And the first scripture we had read today, Tim, do you mind pulling that up in Corinthians? I thought that that gave us just a great little snapshot, if you will, of this journey towards God. Because the writer's exhorting us, don't be discouraged. Don't lose heart. Yeah, it's tough out there. And sometimes you might feel like your own body's wasting away. But each day, day by day, you can be renewed by the Spirit, the presence of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. And then he reminds us, all this affliction we're going through, it's temporary. It's passing. But what we're looking to is what's eternal, what's lasting, what's forever and ever. So we don't just look at the things in our immediate circumstance, who happens to be our boss this week, so to speak, but we look at what's lasting, what's eternal, not just what's seen right in front of us, but what's unseen. And so the writer here in Corinthians is really trying to help us kind of focus up and also in, like, look at what's unseen, God with us. And the writer's encouraging disciples on the journey, don't lose heart. Don't get discouraged. Why do you think a writer would write to a church, don't lose heart? Because it's tough out there. Because we might be tempted to lose heart. And the writer's saying, be encouraged. Day by day you can be renewed. Be encouraged. You're after the eternal weight of glory, not the temporal. And I love that. And the writer is simply saying, keep on investing in your journey towards God. And I think when we talk about spiritual formation, discipleship, investing in your journey towards God, I would say work on the relationship. Work on the relationship you have with God. Invest in it, right? If you have a best friend or a girlfriend or a boyfriend or a spouse, or think of somebody you're close to, right? Doesn't that relationship necessitate that you prioritize some of your time for that person? I mean, if you have a best friend and you never see them and you never call them and you never text them, how good a friend are they? You know, if they're a best friend, you pick up the phone and you call. You invest in that person, right? Last fall, we had a marriage course. And I was encouraging couples, hey, invest in the person you're with. Because if you invest, it becomes sweeter and richer and deeper. And if you take each other for granted, you'll miss each other and it'll be harder. Right? It takes work in relationship. It takes prioritizing time and money and priorities and all these things, right? Relationships require relational investment. And how much more so with God? Just to say, well, I'll pray to you once a week when I'm at church. God might feel like you're kind of taking him for granted. And I think God has so much to tell us and so much love to show us if we will make time. Make time, intentional time, to meet with God. And that can look like all sorts of things, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. The second element of in that I want to focus on is in your inward journey towards God within community. Within community. John Wesley, he was this little old man way back from England. He's credited as being kind of the founder of Methodism. John Wesley didn't intend to form a new denomination. It was a renewal movement within the Church of England, the Anglican Church. And John Wesley is remembered for many quotes, but one of his quotes is, "There is no holiness but social holiness." There is no holiness but social holiness. And what John Wesley meant by that is if you really want to grow and be transformed in your walk with God, you need other people. You need to do it socially. You need to do it within community. And so John Wesley was famous for having class meetings, right? Big group meetings. And then he was famous for having these band meetings, a small group where they really got honest and vulnerable with each other and said things like, how is it with your soul? What known sin have you committed this week? And other really light questions. John Wesley was somebody who said, if I'm going to follow Christ, I need to be kind of all in with it, and I need to do it with a community. And he was big on social holiness, growing together within community. But, you know, don't just take John Wesley's word for it. Let's look at the scripture. I think that's a bigger word. In Hebrews, the second passage, Tim, that we read today, the writer of Hebrews exhorts us, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Let's not neglect to meet together, as is the habit of some, but let's encourage one another, and all the more as you see the final day drawing near. So this is a real exhortation, right, to the church, written to churches, to communities of faith. Don't neglect to get together within community. Don't neglect each other. Don't neglect, prioritize meeting together. But encourage each other. Let's think about that word, encourage. I think that's a rare practiced good work these days. But isn't it so important? Don't we get discouraged? Doesn't a well-timed word of encouragement or an action where somebody shows that they see you and they serve you in some way, doesn't that just encourage you? Encouragement. So he's exhorting, hey, let's encourage one another. And then he says, let's stir up one another. Do you see that? Stir up one another to love and good works. My translation says, let us provoke one another. And I was looking at the Greek, and it's a really strong word. In fact, sometimes that word in the Greek is a negative, provoke. And here, the writer uses kind of a really strong word, like almost to annoy someone, for the positive. And says, no, we need each other to provoke one another to the love and the good works that we need to be about. So stir up one another, not just to be comfortable and casual about faith, but to stir up. So this is a real word here in Hebrews about our journey in also needs to be not just personal and individual, but community. So let's look at the example of Jesus. By the way, that's a good rule of thumb for about anything. Let's look at the example of Jesus, how he lived, what he taught, what he said, what he did, and what that can teach us about living life. Jesus had some numbers. I don't know, are any of you real numbers people? Yeah, Aaron, you are a numbers person, yes. I'm not a huge numbers person, but I also know that sometimes stats and numbers talk, right? It can really be symbolic of things. So let's think about Jesus and relational numbers. There was the one. Right? The Jesus dismissing the crowds, sending the disciples on ahead in the boat, and him saying what? I'm going to go and pray. Right? Jesus over and over before he made big decisions, when he'd been busy pouring out, teaching and healing, he would take time to go get away with the Father. Right? That was the journey in. Right? He wanted to stay in communion with the Father. He wanted to listen to the Father. He wanted to talk to the Father. He wanted to spend time with the Father. This was constantly a priority. If you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, you see it. God and Jesus, right, through the power of the Spirit, they hung out. And Jesus in his earthly ministry was often dismissing the crowds, dismissing even his disciples, and saying, I'm going to go pray. The one. Okay, next number. Let's talk about the 70, or the crowds. Jesus was known to reach out to a group, right? Send out the 70. He preached the Beatitudes and a large crowd gathered. Jesus had many follow him. It was countercultural. He even let women follow him and learn of him and learn his ways and his teachings. And there were known parts in the Gospels where there was a large group of people following Jesus, coming to his worship services, his preaching, his teaching. So we can talk about the number 70, meaning large gathering of people. I would like to be able to say worship on Sunday mornings represents that for us, but we're not at 70 most days or any day that I can think of. Boy, I would like to see that. I would really like to see more people gathered in community and it be a large group. But certainly, probably many of us have had opportunities where we have gathered in a large group. And it's a time for being reminded you're not alone, being reminded it's a shared journey, being reminded that as I go in to worship God, it's not just me and Jesus, right? It's we and Jesus. 70. Okay, Jesus had another number in his life, 12. 12. What did that stand for relationally? You know, 12 disciples, right? Culturally speaking, it was the world of men who learned the Torah, the scriptures, who were able to get the education. And so Jesus, likewise, living incarnationally, right, within that culture, he called 12 men, right? People like Peter, James, John, Thomas, and on, right? There were 12 disciples called. And in Acts, you know, when Judas turns out to be the bad guy and betrays Jesus, early in Acts, right, you study how the early disciples said, we need to raise up another one, the 12th one, because Judas deserted us. And they brought in Matthias, right? So 12. These were men who followed Jesus so closely that they got the dust of Jesus' sandals on them. The 12 were people who ate with Jesus, probably slept in the nearby tent next to Jesus. They probably laughed with Jesus. They heard his formal teachings and his informal teachings and his side comments and his jokes. Man, I'd love to hear more of those jokes. They spent 3 years following Jesus very closely. Then Jesus had the three. Three is another big number that you see in Jesus' example. Three, Jesus had an inner circle out of his disciples. Peter, James, and John. Peter, James, and John. And these three men were invited into kind of an intimate place with Jesus in times of great transparency and vulnerability. They were to be Jesus's kind of extra strength, extra support. So you see, like during the Transfiguration, when Jesus goes up to the mountain to talk to Elijah and Moses, and he's transfigured and they see kind of this radiant Jesus. The three that Jesus invited to go up to the mountain to see that were Peter, James, and John. And when that moment is over, Jesus says, don't tell anybody about this. Keep this between us, our circle, until after I'm risen. So, in other words, they were to keep a confidence. When Jesus was about to be betrayed, when he went to the garden to pray, so he had the Last Supper with all his disciples, and then when he went to the garden to pray, he asked Peter, James, and John to go with him further into the garden, and he asked them, pray for me. I am really struggling right now. Keep awake and pray for me. And man, if you've ever had a really close loved one, friend, someone you'd consider in your inner circle, betray you, Jesus knows what it feels like. Because those three men fell asleep on him. They weren't there for him in his moment of trial. And then as he was arrested, they all ran away. I mean, later, right? Peter, James, and John, once Jesus was raised and the whole cross thing was behind them, they came around. Glory to God. But at that moment of trial, Jesus must have felt so alone. That was his inner circle that deserted him. So let's think about those numbers. 70, 12, 3, 1. Let's talk about our inward journey, our spiritual formation, and our community growth. Let's talk about that practically a minute. For the church, our church, and for you personally, each of us. So let's start with the church. I'd like to suggest to you that we as a community could keep growing with this inward journey as a community. I think there's a lot of great things going already. Worship weekly, right? Bible study at 10. Which is a great small group type experience. Fellowship meals from time to time where we invest in not just the food. We do invest in the food. I do anyway. But invest in each other, right? Breaking bread together, talking together, making time for each other. What else could we do? What else do we want to do? Do we feel led to do by the Spirit as a community and as personal individuals? I want to say to you maybe some words of just brainstorm now. My personal thing. I think that word of let's encourage one another is a good word for us. Make it a goal to text somebody in our church community or call once a week, somebody. Just to encourage them. Do you know we have a WhatsApp group for the church? If you'd like to be in on that and aren't, let me know. Let Rob know. We'll hook you in. And what do we do on that WhatsApp? Sometimes somebody will say, pray for, and people will pray. Sometimes it's, hey, reminder, potluck meal is next Sunday. I mean, it's not always ringing, but it's a community, right? It's a way to stay connected. I wonder, is there interest in another sort of small group? We have the Bible study that meets on Sunday mornings. Is there interest in another small group that would meet, say, in the afternoon after work or in the evening? We could have it be a Bible study. We could call it Theology on Tap. We could call it the band group. We could focus it how we'd want. Is there interest in our midst for more connectedness within community? What else would we say we have need to do as a church? And I want to say freely, it doesn't have to be something I lead or come up with. It can be any of your initiative. It could be one woman saying to another woman, let's go do coffee. And then you go do coffee and you say, hey, let's invite one or two other women, and then all of a sudden it's a group where you talk together and laugh together and pray. So I just throw that out. What is ESUMC as we look in this new year? How can we keep working at the inward ingredient? Where we come together and we're encouraged and we stir one another up. Is there room for growth there? I think absolutely. And how do we want to prioritize that? So I leave that to you to pray through, think through. If you have comments, additions, happy to talk to you about that. Now let's make it personal and practical. And let's go through the numbers. Let's talk about the 1, the 3, the 12, and the 70. For you, each of you. 1, how's your relationship inward with God going? If it's not going well, I would just simply challenge us, how much time do we give in a week to God? Do we carve out any time on our calendar for prayer, for scripture, for taking a walk just to think about God? For just spending time with God? If we're struggling to hear from God, perhaps more needs to be done. I'll say personally, I've put on my calendar in a few weeks to go on a retreat, a solitude retreat, so I can practice listening to God. I have this habit, I hope you can laugh, I have this habit of talking too much. I need to listen, right? The inward journey. Relationship with God, it's not just one way. And so I'm going to take some time away just to really try to listen to the Lord, to go on that inward journey. So I don't know what that needs to look like for each of you in your own life, your own work schedule, etc. I just want to challenge you, don't miss that essential ingredient in personal, one-on-one, you and God. What about 3? 3's the inner circle for Jesus, right? Do you have an inner circle? Now, that could be from people here, but it can also be from people that you've known from childhood. Someone back home, someone from another congregation in another country, and you talk over FaceTime or WhatsApp or however you connect. Your inner circle may be a family member. It may be a spiritual brother or sister. I want to say to you that it would be wise to consider who's your inner 2 or 3 people. Man, if you've got a crisis, who's got your back? Who would really stand in the gap and pray for you if something bad really hits you? And if you can't think of 1 or 2 people, I'd exhort you, go and ask God to give you some people. Prayerfully sit down and with a pencil and say to God, who's somebody I need to invest in? I need an inner circle. I think it's that important that you have an inner circle. I think a counselor or a spiritual director or a pastor can be that for one another. But it doesn't necessarily have to be. I think a spouse can be that for one another, but not necessarily. It can be someone, I would say some who are in my inner circle I haven't seen for over a year, but we talk. Right? So consider your inner circle. And I'll also say if you've ever had someone in your inner circle die or betray you, that's really painful. Because that gets to a very vulnerable place. So if you ever have, I would say, get more support for a season as you heal and keep working towards an inner circle. Okay, the 12. Do you have some sort of smaller group? Maybe you don't share all of your deep, dark thoughts or deep and profound inner wisdom with everybody in that group of 10, 12 people. But is there a group that you feel like, hey, I could go share with? Maybe there's somebody in that group that they look to you, and you look to somebody in that group. I think a Bible study makes a good kind of smaller group feel. It can be a prayer group, a study group, all kinds of different formats, right? Do you have a group? If not, that might be something helpful for you. And then the 70 is meant to be, I think, this setting. More of a time to worship, a time for testimony, reading of the word, preaching of the word, seeking God within community together. So this is what we're going to do for the next 4 minutes. I'm going to give you complete quiet. And this is your time to pray through and think through your inward journey personally. The 1, the 3, the 12, the 70. What does that look like for you? And what do you need to pursue ahead? And then also don't forget to pray for this church and its inward community building and its future. Over on that table by the basket, if you want a time to think and reflect on in, and then...